Hi, my name is Jason. I'm in Seattle and I rock the G1 and I'm not ashamed. And now get ready for the Android Central Podcast, the greatest Android related podcast on the web.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast number 9 for the week of April 18th, 2010. And what a week it's been. We've had the onslaught of Verizon Droid Incredible reviews hit, including our own. We've had giant Dell leaks, and to help us cover it all, we've got Mickey Papillon, the cell phone junkie.
I'm here. Good to be with you again, Phil.
Good to have you back. Hope everybody caught the first annual inaugural Android Central Writers Roundtable earlier this week with all the writers from the site. That was a lot of fun. You haven't listened to it yet, Mickey. What's up?
I know. I'll get there. It's been a busy week for me, too. So
missing out. Miss.
Go grab it.
Well, we talked all Incredible in that one. And Mickey, I want to get your take on the Incredible. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But what are your initial thoughts after reading all the reviews?
You know, I've looked at this device as more or less the next generation for Android devices. We've had so many come out here in the last, you know, couple of months. It feels like every 10 days or so, we've got the latest and greatest. You know, this is the Android device to kill all other Android devices. And I think with the Incredible, it is stepping up and pushing us forward with this new line. So you've got the Incredible and, of course, then the Evo 4G, which will be coming out a little bit later this summer. But if you're a Verizon user and you've been holding out on getting a new device, and I make that point because it's interesting. I've been going back and forth with my stepfather recently about what he's going to buy next. He's always been a feature phone user and is very interested in upgrading to a smartphone and specifically on Android for some other open source stuff that he does. And so as we've gone through of all the devices, you know, I wasn't real excited about the Droid, so I couldn't really recommend that one to him. I kind of felt like he should go with the Droid Aris. Of course, then I heard about the Nexus One and I thought, well, just wait until the Nexus One comes. And now the Incredible hits. And without any question, I felt very comfortable saying you should get the Incredible. I pulled it up, I showed him the specifications, and I said, for the next 2 years, if you use this phone and you don't upgrade for 2 years like every normal person does, then you're going to be happy with this device. I think it's got such a feature proof set of features on it that I think it's really what Verizon needed. And I don't want to go as far as saying that it should have been what the Aris was, because the Aris is its own market in and of itself. But I think it's a real big thing for Verizon to get this one, and it's definitely going to be a very helpful device for them moving forward.
What's like the one or two big standout features for you?
Well, obviously the camera. I mean, anyone, you know, looking for, you know, a good camera, that's obviously going to be one of the key selling points for them. I also think if you look at all the other devices that are out there right now, that the, you know, this one just kind of has, I'll just say, you know, the whole package. It comes with such, I don't know, such a kind of a give and take for me with the trackpad or the optical trackpad versus the trackball. And ultimately, I think that the, you know, the whole LED notification versus not and stuff like that. But I think that too is one of the big ones. It gives it a much cleaner look. And I'm really excited to see that as well. Obviously, the processor in it is fantastic as well, too.
What about Sense? I mean, you're using a Nexus One now. You still haven't rooted that thing yet, have you?
No.
So you haven't used Sense on the Nexus One. Have you used the new Sense at all yet? Like in a Legend? Or?
I have not. No, I have not. So I guess I can't speak to that at all. Looking at it though, from what you've done with the Nexus and with this device, I don't think that there's anything that is terribly compelling for me to go for it. But I guess I'm in the camp that just kind of likes the traditional Google look to it. But there can be arguments, you know, that are made with the friend stream and whatnot, but it's not, I don't know. I don't think it's essential.
It's a hell of a phone. Just sitting here looking at it. You know, people really hate, not everybody, but a lot of people really hate the red accents. I like them.
I don't mind them. I think they're okay. Yeah. I mean, it gives it a uniqueness. It's not just, the black, the all black that that we find in most devices nowadays. And I don't know, it is cool taking off that cover, seeing that all red back and battery. It's kind of fun.
Popping it open right now, and it's like blinding me. It's awesome. I love it. Nice. I think it's great. If I were on Verizon, I would get this phone in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest, you know, draws to it, is that it's on the Verizon network. And, you know, it's no secret that we're likely going to see the iPhone on Verizon this year, and that's going to draw a whole lot of people to it. But those that are interested in looking for a device that I'll just throw out and say does even more than it, and or allows the user to do more with, the Incredible is a great choice. It's an incredible choice. No pun intended.
Something a lot of people have been asking about, though, is upgrades. You look at the Nexus One, and it's been getting everything earlier, right? And any OS upgrade that the Incredible is going to get is going to have to go through Verizon somehow. So that will obviously take a little longer. Would that scare you away from it at all?
I don't think so. I think in the fact that it's got the support of Apple, Verizon, excuse me, is something.
There's that Freudian slip if I ever heard one.
Yeah, no kidding. The fact that it's got the backing of Verizon, it's probably going to have the lure to a greater audience, just because people are going to be able to buy it directly from Verizon, and that's what they're used to, and that's how our, you know, cellular market works. So it may take a little bit longer, but I'm not too put off by that.
Cool. Well, should we talk about the other giant major leak that came out this week? Engadget scored just a huge scoop with the brand new iPhone. Oh, wait, sorry, that was that other site. Engadget got basically just a huge slide deck from Dell. Was that just not funny at all?
Mm-hmm. It was sort of
crickets.
Funny. Sorry.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So Engadget got what looks like just a huge slide deck from Dell. And this almost feels like one of the things that a manufacturer would have. You know, manufacturers will make the phones and then try to sell them to the carriers and basically be like, here's what we have. Come tell us what you think. What do you want? What do you want us to tweak? Blah, blah, blah. And I kind of got a feel like that with all these. Like, this is the internal stuff that Dell has presenting all of these slides to the carriers, right? So let's start with the Thunder, which is just a beast, right? Right now it's got Android 2.1, a 4.1-inch WVGA OLED screen. It's got this weird UI on top of it called Stage, which, you know, we'll see how it works. I'm not going to pass judgment on that until we actually get to use it, assuming any of this is ever going to see the light of day anyway. We just don't know. Flash 10.1 would presumably be there, an 8-megapixel camera, LTE model, you know, when and if LTE finally launches, AT&T, Hulu, unicorns.
Swipe.
And that's what's kind of interesting, you know, because Swipe right now has a deal with T-Mobile to be on T-Mobile phones. And in talking to them, I'm like, guys, you know, obviously you want to be on everywhere possible. Can you tell us anything yet? And they're just like, we're talking with everybody and nodding their heads. So that is a good sign, I think, that we'll see Swipe elsewhere. I mean, this is just a sweet looking phone.
I think so. I mean, there are other... two other ones that I'm excited about even more. Well, maybe not so much. Let me stick to the Thunder right now as we're talking about it. It's okay. Got the high end features. It is, you know, it looks like a good device. That I'm still having my doubts about Dell. I don't really understand the strategy yet. I like that they're getting into phones, but it's going to all depend on who picks these things up. If it's, you know, here in the U.S., like how Sony has done things, which I don't think it will be, but if it is, they're not going to get as much traction as the Motorola and HTCs of the world, just because not as many people are going to know about them. And so they've got to, you know, if it's AT&T is the carrier that they shack up with, so to speak, I hope that they do it in a way that can get the marketing that they need behind these things. Because Android is one thing, but the Dell brand name has never been one that is known in the phone world, and so I don't know that a lot of people are going to necessarily go for it. But yeah, with a device that's got a big screen like this and all the other features that you're, you know, probably interested in, I think this could be a good one. But again, this looks like, you know, the highest level one, and we'll get on to the other two here in a second. But it's nice. I do like it. I just don't know that I would buy it.
Do you think Dell will have anywhere near the same kind of brand cachet that that HTC has at this point. I mean, when you see HTC, you know what you're getting. When you think Dell, you think cheap office computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I'd say cheap office computer. I mean, I would say, well, okay, maybe fine.
Maybe we're in different offices.
Yeah. I mean, I think of every office like in the world or in the US, computers is what I think of. So maybe that translates to cheap. The Omniplex, I mean, that was the one I think that just killed it for him. It was just so many capacitor issues. And anyway, I do like Dell. I don't think that the brand is there on the mobile phone side, though. HTC, that's what they've built their brand on, are on these high-quality phones, and that's great. Now, it could be there in a few years, but don't plan on Dell coming out of the gate and having this massive following, because I don't think they're going to. It's just, you know, there'll be some people that will enjoy these. You know, everyone will be very hot about them when they come out. It looks like, you know, it's going to be a little while here before we see them, but eventually we'll be able to get, you know, get some hands-on time with these, hopefully, here. But what did they say for when they expected this one to come out? Was this one late 2010?
Yeah, yeah. And then the LTE model would come after that, obviously. You know what really worries me just looking at them is no search button. I need the search button.
Well, that it's a hit or miss thing with these devices, isn't it? Some of them have it, some of them don't. And I don't know. Home, back, and what, menu, right? So that's what you're stuck
with.
Well,
Samsung, I think, is the only manufacturer that's kind of skipped out on those a little bit, but I don't know. I gotta have me some search button.
It looks like it's, you know, overall though, a solidly built phone. There's not too many seams on it. It looks shiny, which could mean it's, you know, going to look good, or it's just all plastic. that's hard to tell. Leaked shots right now, always interesting to see and whatnot. Their target audience is the affluent professional, so it's obviously going to be a premium device.
I love hearing about target audiences.
Yeah, well, that's what they think. I mean, it could be a totally different animal here when it finally comes out. It could be, you know, a different, who knows, a different, totally different audience. But yeah, the Hulu, you know, aspect is interesting. That obviously, you know, the whole Flash thing kind of makes sense now. But it's, you know, as a slab device, it looks like a good one.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Flash, and these all follow kind of a lightning, thunder, storm type of theme. Thank God it's not the BlackBerry Storm type of theme. So you got the Flash. It's got an 800 megahertz Qualcomm processor, which is kind of Snapdragon-ish. You know, it's not the full gigahertz. That's fine. The display is smaller, so it probably doesn't need the full-on gigahertz. 3.5-inch LED, not OLED. 5-megapixel camera. What else? The usual bells and whistles. 512 of RAM, 512 of ROM. That's pretty standard these days. 1,300 milliamp hour battery. So this looks more like run-of-the-mill, kind of current-type technology, whereas the Thunder takes things up. I mean, the Thunder's current, too. I wouldn't necessarily call the Thunder, like, next-gen, but this is, you know, the Flash is a step down and probably just a little more affordable, right?
Right, and this is a first quarter 11 release, so this is going to be a low-end device at that point. The specs on here are not anything that's going to be mind-blowing at that point. You know, just the simple fact that we're talking about a processor that's down to 800 megahertz. Isn't that interesting to say? We're talking about a processor that's down to 800 megahertz, you know, compared to everything that's, you know, we've seen here recently. That's going to be a little bit slower than the norm. But it's going, again, in what is that going to mean in 9 to 12 months? It's really hard to tell. But that's at this point what they're talking about. Release on AT&T and globally as well, although it looks like it's probably going to be specific to, you know, certain carriers. So I could see this one grabbing some attention if it does in fact get released on AT&T, because I bet this will be like a $100 phone. At least that's looking at it. That's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm. I'm less concerned about OS that we see supposedly running on these things yet, just because everything's going to get updated at some point. It's just a matter of what, right? And when.
Right, exactly.
The Dell Smoke. Now this one is interesting. You know, they've been calling it kind of the Pixie of these devices. And this one's pretty small. It's got a 2.8-inch screen, five megapixel camera, 800 megahertz processor again. It's only 10.5 millimeters thick. It's not very big at all. It just looks so long, though. It's got a QWERTY keyboard on the bottom of it, though, and what are probably going to be really small keys. It's 10.5 millimeters thick, or thin, I guess. You know, yeah. A small battery and 1170 milliamp hours and a 5 megapixel camera. So this should be interesting.
I think it is it's the form factor that people have been waiting for on Android. It can be, you can compare it to the Pixie, you can compare it to the Trio, a BlackBerry, whatever you want. It's a front facing QWERTY, and that's the bottom line. It's a form factor that is needed out there right now. I'm a big fan of it, and so I will vouch for it and say that it's a good one. And out of all of these that were leaked out here, this was the one that caught my attention because of that. I mean, I can get any Android device with on-screen physical, you know, keyboards right now, but there's none out there that have physical keyboards like this. And so that's what I'm waiting for. I'm not a slider fan. I've been wanting a portrait QWERTY, and so here we go. Again, this one looks like 2011, though, and that may be a little bit too late, but second quarter is what they're saying, which is like 12-plus months from right now. So that seems a little bit off.
You know what I really want to see is the Lightning, which is the Windows Mobile phone that came out in this leak too, the Windows Phone 7. I would love to see this as like a vertical slider.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. I mean, that's that form factor. Okay, fine. It's good to have the options, right? And mm-hmm. So to have something like that for those that are looking for that, I think is good. I'm not a big fan of the mechanical parts though on a device, I guess. And so maybe that's what gets me about devices like the Pre and that one too. So
no, there's yeah. Definitely something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got. We got the Smoke, which is a larger, it's kind of like the Streak, which is the Dell Mini 5 or the 5-inch tablet. The Smoke is a 7-inch tablet.
The Looking Glass.
Oh, the Looking Glass. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. You're confusing me here. No, the Smoke. That's the one that
we were just talking about. The Smoke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're just talking about that.
Yes.
The Looking Glass. Yes, it's the big brother to the Streak 5. Yes.
Yes.
And it is a crazy little thing that I don't know. Whatever. It's an Android tablet, right? I mean, that's the
Do these tablets do anything for you?
No, nothing. I mean, there's nothing about this that really gets me, you know, excited about it. It's like just adding one more gadget, and I don't see the need to do this. It feels a little bit better to have specific devices that I can take with me and do a lot of different things on it. And so maybe this one does a few things better, and that's why people are going to like it. But it's not specific. It's not something specific that I think that needs to be in everybody's pocket.
I think the 5-inch is just dead, especially after seeing the mm-hmm. iPad, and I think we talked about this before. So 7-inch might be just minimum these days. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I don't know which way the tablet market's going to go. I have no idea.
If it's big enough that it can do more than a phone can, like what the iPad has shown us, and still run the operating system in a way that makes it, you know, very quick and very easy to use on the, you know, on a whim, so to speak. You're not thinking about booting up a laptop. It mm-hmm. doesn't fit everybody's needs, though. I mean, there's so much buzz about the iPad right now, but that doesn't mean that everyone needs to have one. In fact, I would argue that most people probably don't. But there are a lot of, you know, cases where I think it fills a, you know, a person's need better than, let's say, a laptop, because it's on the go. All you're usually doing is email and web surfing, you know, in a lot of people that'll work. But if you're trying to do, you know, we don't need to get into justifying the iPad here. Let me just say this. if Android can come out with, you know, one or two good tablets that are similar in size to it, I think it can find itself in having a competitive advantage based on the OS, but it's got to look good too, and it's got to get a big push behind it, because otherwise people are just not going to know about it. It's going to be in the shadows.
Works for me. Let me bounce around a little bit, moving away from Dell, and kind of the other big giant phone everybody's waiting on right now is the Sprint Evo 4G, and we got an invitation to a little party they're throwing in New York City. It probably won't be actually like launched at this party. I mean, it'll be launched, whatever, but it won't be available, you know, to the public right after that, just because that's kind of the same way Timo did the HD2. So I'm not expecting it to be on sale like the next day, but you never know. We just don't know, right? So I'm going to run up there for that. A lot of people excited about the Evo. You know, we've had a lot of conversation about, all right, Nexus One or the Incredible or the Evo. Where do you stand on that? Do you really think it comes down to carrier and that should trump everything or what?
I do. I mean, the first choice that you have to make is what carrier works the best for you. It's the great thing about the Nexus, or will be the great thing, is that you'll be able to get it on any carrier. So depending on who you have and who works best for you, you can choose that way. If you have an iPhone only because you wanted the iPhone and AT&T isn't the best for you, you probably need to re-examine why you have it, especially if you're interested in, you know, an Android device. So the fact that you'll be able to get some, you know, other devices, you know, well, for example, you can get the Nexus on AT&T, but you can also get it on Verizon, or will be able to. And so I look at that with the Evo and the Incredible, is that if you are on Sprint and you really like Sprint and it works really well for you, then stick with it and wait for the Evo. You know, consequently, if Verizon is that carrier for you, then go with the Incredible. Obviously, 4G is better than 3G, but only if you're in an area that has 4G service. They're rolling it out, but there's only, what, about 24 markets right now that have the 4G service, and most of those are on the coasts. So if you live in the heartland, you know, or anywhere in between, you may have problems getting 4G service. It will change, but it's not going to be something that right when the phone becomes available may be available in every area for you. So again, go back to the carrier. What makes sense as a, you know, a device that's going to give you both solid voice and data coverage, and then you can, you know, start to make your decision.
I was talking to my mom last night because she's on Sprint, and I'm trying to get her off her old Pink Centro, which is still kicking, by the way. And I was like, and I was explaining to her about the Evo, and she says, "How big is it?" I said, "It's huge. It's bigger than this Nexus One here." She said, "Well, I don't know if I want something that big." And that's something I think a lot of people are going to worry about. I mean, it's not the most unwieldy phone out there. I've used an HD2. I've had it in my pocket. You know, I can walk around with the thing. But it's certainly pretty big, and I think size is going to come into play there as well.
Yeah, I do too. It's a great screen, but it's a big screen. And again, there's not one device that's good for everybody. That's the beauty of what Android is doing. There's this, you know, I would say fragmentation, you know, in one hand, but on the other hand, I would say the choice that's out there is fantastic. You can go anywhere from a Click to a Nexus, you know, from an Aris to an Evo. I mean, there's so much out there to choose from, and that's what's great about it. So if you're on Sprint and you want to experience the highest in specs that are out there, get an Evo. It looks like a great option. But if Sprint isn't who you want to be on, then don't get it. I mean, it's kind of that simple.
All right, so it looks like the Sony Ericsson Xperia X10 is supposedly coming in late July or early August. Yay. I'm not sure anybody particularly cares at that at this point.
Yeah, it's a nice phone. Sony's done a good job with it, but it's kind of late. This was cool back in January. It's now almost May. It's all over for this one, I'm afraid. So you may be able to pick one up for cheap, but other than that, I'm not convinced it's going to be much of anything.
Yeah, me too. Hey, you want to hear a funny story?
I would love a funny
Apparently,
story.
Apparently, I like reviewed the Xperia X10 with a screen protector on it the entire time.
That's pretty good.
You know, and it was on there so well, you just didn't notice. I don't know, you know, maybe I was doing too much stuff at once, and I was doing like three reviews at one time. But doesn't change the fact that the software is just not quite there. And, you know, speaking of the screen, you know, there's this big thing going on. Is it going to get multi-touch? Is it not going to get multi-touch? Sony Ericsson has come back and said, no, it will never get multi-touch. Quit asking. So that's just kind of one more reason why nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah, it's an essential feature on an Android phone, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No reason not
Absolutely.
To have that.
Yeah. We got slipped a rebate sheet for US Cellular, and it looks like they're going to get the HTC Desire. That is very cool.
Very cool. It's a good device, good network. Not everywhere, but, you know, for those that are comfortable and like using it. There, you got some Android love now, so good news.
Got a little story that 32 gigabyte micro SD cards can't be formatted by Android yet. That's kind of, you know, it's not a huge deal, and you don't have to format your card in the phone, and I think a lot of people, I assumed people would know that, you know, just by default, they would understand that, oh, it's a card, I can format it in my computer, but apparently we had to spell it out. So there it is. If you want to spend $200 on a 32 gigabyte card, you can, and it will work fine. It just won't format in your phone, so don't freak out about that. Very exciting. We saw Android running on an iPhone late last night.
Mm-hmm. Watch this video. It's actually very interesting, you know, to see how they did it. And I mean, very geeky. I was showing my wife this video this morning, and she just kind of rolled her eyes and then, you know, said, well, why would you even want to do that? And I said, well, you know, I guess the question is this is more of a, you know, proof of concept, and, you know, the fact that they could do it is why. And why wouldn't you want to do it if you could? So if you've got an old iPhone laying around, go check out the, you know, the link from the story here, and you can find out how to do it yourself. It's kind of clunky. Not enough buttons on the iPhone really to do everything that you want. But you can also dual boot too, which is kind of cool. So you can still run OS 10, or maybe that's the only way you can do it. But then load Android on the side as well when you launch it, when you turn on
the phone. And the way this works is very much like how it works on Windows Mobile. You're launching Linux, and then within that, you're launching Android. So very cool. And a surprising amount of stuff was working.
I know. He was getting text messages, getting calls. I was able to, you know, the Wi-Fi was working, so that means it's got the right, you know, driver to make the Wi-Fi card work in it and stuff like that. So yeah, it was pretty impressive. You know, just being able to get it and, you know, do what he could do with it. And I kind of liked it. So it's kind of funny to see it running on an iPhone though. It didn't look right, you know, but nonetheless fun.
The T-Mobile MyTouch Slide has been making the rounds in more leaked shots. And I don't know about this OS. It has this Espresso OS, which is like half Android, half Sense, but not really. I'll be curious to use it and see if it's any good.
Hmm.
It just doesn't look as compelling as Sense does.
Don't you think that the idea behind this, though, is, you know, hence the name Espresso. It's to make it quick, give you the things that you need to do, and it's not going to be a full Android, you know, experience, but that's okay because that's the point with it. It's just stripped down because of it, you know, and I think it's okay that they did that.
We'll see. Again, can't really pass judgment until we use it, I think.
True.
Speaking of T-Mobile, it's getting the Garmin phone, which is the Nuvi phone in 20 and 50, I forget what. You actually played with it at a CES or Mobile World Congress, I forget. So I played with the phone. It's interesting. I just don't know that you need a dedicated like navigation phone now, do you?
Probably not. It's a neat, you know, niche, I guess, but the processor now is a little bit, you know, older. I mean, we're seeing processors almost twice the speed. 3.5 display is, you know, inch display is nice. The 3-megapixel camera is a little old. They really could have done some things to revamp this hardware, and then I think it would have had something. But I don't see this as being a big seller either. It seems like a good idea, but it's just no. I don't think anyone is going to care about it.
The Lenovo Lephone launched in China. That's like the worst headline I've ever written.
Yeah, I was going to say something about that, but. Although it's got to be one.
It's just a weird phone, right?
No, it's a very like weird phone. It looks like the inside of a tree. It looks like like you open up the phone and you see the concentric rings.
See the rings
in there? Yeah, it's very strange. So
let you know how long you were shaking your head because of it.
That's.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Let's move on into some software stuff. Okay. Steve Jobs has a thing about porn and Android, and kind of keeps forgetting that Safari on the iPhone is still the best browser out there, and that there are sites out there that cater to, you know, Safari and making porn look good on it.
Yeah, here's the deal. If you're someone who wants to find these nefarious sites, you're going to be able to find them.
And what kind of person is that?
Use them. I'm not even going to answer that. It's such a big industry, and I don't want to get off on this because we're a clean show. But it's such a big industry that of course there are sites that are going to work on these. And it's, you know, there's not a browser out there right now that has not cannot view certain things that would be considered adult material. I mean, these sites have, you know, certain sites have been made to work, you know, on the mobile device. And, you know, there's even some applications that have been made. Now, Apple has stripped a lot of that stuff out, but it doesn't mean you can't go to a website. So, I don't know. I think for him to be all hot and bothered about it is, okay, that was, okay, this is going nowhere good, I'll tell you that, using the expression hot and bothered. I'm done. I'm just going to stop talking now.
Here's my thing about it. The market is a mess, right? The market needs to be cleaned up no matter what. Section it off. You'll never actually do like real parental controls, right? That just never works. Section all that stuff off and then give us good porn. There's so much just crap out there. I still see like, you know, I still see every app that comes into the store or that comes into the market. And most of the time it's just, you know, sexy ladies number two or sexy stories or, you know, it's not even good stuff. It's these cookie cutter apps. You know, just look at it from an app standpoint. It's just not good. I just want to see good quality apps. If there's going to be porn, make a good quality porn apps. Mm. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Good enough.
So Phil likes porn. That's what you can take out of that. I don't know. Phil likes good porn apps. Leave it at that. Android 2.2 is being tested somehow. Android and me saw it in their server logs. We're seeing it in ours. Saw some more today. So it's just a matter of when we're going to see it and what it's going to be. I don't know that 2.2 is going to be Froyo. I was talking to Taylor about this. He thinks it's going to be, and he thinks it's, we're going to see it at Google I.O. And I agree with that. I think we'll definitely see something big at Google I.O. That's where they showed off 2.0 last year. Whether 2.2 is Froyo, I don't know. I hope it is, because that means it'll be coming sooner, right?
That's right. You
know, instead of waiting for 3. But we'll find out, and that is in a little less than a month, and we'll be there. What else? Seismic for Android got updated. You got a widget now. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Does native retweets, which is unfortunate. I don't like native retweets on Twitter anymore, but, you know, hardly the only one. The Motorola Devour is in the midst of getting an update right now. We told you about this first last week sometime when we got the leaked update form for it. So that's coming out. It's a maintenance fix. It's bug fixes. It's nothing huge. Android 2.1 is rolling out for the Motorola Milestone on Telus. It's not an over-the-air update, though, and that kind of sucks. You got to, you know, sync up to your computer to do it, but, you know, it's better than nothing, right?
I guess, but kind of the one of the appealing features of Android is being able to do them, most of them over the air, and unfortunately they took that out of this one. Not happy about
that. Google Maps Nav now works in the UK. Woohoo!
Nice.
And with Android 1.6, so that's good. So if you got an older device, you can still use it. And everybody got all excited about Adobe and Flash and being able to sign up to be notified when the beta begins. I've never seen people so excited to sign up to receive an email in my life.
I guess it's good because it's going to enable a lot of different things. I'm very excited to, you know, see audio and video ads on my device, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see. That's it on the software news. Google Store project, you know, we saw this a while ago where they were sneakily, or not so much, taking pictures inside stores, right? So we can probably see that launching on Google Places anytime now. That's interesting. I guess being able to see the inside of a store from your phone before you walk inside the store. We're getting very Orwellian or something.
Yeah, that goes a little far. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan.
All right, so let's talk about the contest we got going on.
You know, hold on.
Yes.
The next project that will be released then by Google is called Google House. And this is where Google will be going into everybody's house and surreptitiously taking photos of the inside of your house. So you know what the inside of the house looks like. Free, go over there. So you know if you really want to stop by.
Google Bathroom.
Yeah, Google Bathroom.
Google, I don't know.
Anyway.
All right, so all the contests we got going on right now. We're giving away a free Fry's and Droid Incredible in the forums. There'll be a link in the show notes here. All you got to do is leave a forum post in the designated thread, and you will be entered for that. And we're also giving away 2 Bluetooth headsets on top of that, just for posting in the incredible forums anywhere. We are still on our quest to give away my T-Mobile Nexus One. And have you seen this third batch of entries, Mickey?
No, I saw the link this morning, and I got to get over and watch them.
This is the best batch yet.
Nice, nice. Keep them coming in. There's still time, right?
Yeah, still time. You got till the end of the month, till the end of April to send me your submission and just videotape yourself. Videotapes. Yeah, I keep saying that. Video yourself and send it up to YouTube and shoot me the link at phil@androidcentral.com, and then I'll compile them all. And at the end of the month, we'll slap them all on a page and have a poll. And remember, it's you guys voting on them, not me. I'll vote, sure. But I'm not like choosing the one I think is the best. It's going to be up to you guys.
Yep.
Yep. All right, so let's do some email. So you might have heard me mention before that we've been getting email all this time, and I just wasn't getting them. So we're going to start fresh. We're going to start anew, and we've got half a dozen to go through real quickly here. So I will start. Eric writes, I enjoy your podcast and had a question about Tweety. I'm looking for one app on Android that will let me post something to both my Twitter and Facebook account at once. I don't want a separate app. I don't think I've seen one, but if you know of anyone, let me know. Thanks, and keep up the good work on the show. Well, here's the deal. If you're on Sense, and especially the new Sense, you can absolutely do that through FriendStream. Uber easy. Here's what I use, and I use Selective Twitter, which is actually like a plugin through Facebook, right? So not everything I put on Twitter goes into Facebook. There are other Facebook plugins that will do that will put everything you put on Twitter into Facebook, and all you have to do is search for them. I guess I should have done that a minute ago, huh? Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, I use Sync. One of those things. I think it's called Twitter Sync. And it does just that, and it works just fine. So,
be careful with that. And that's why I went to Selective Twitter. So now if I want something I tweet to show up on Facebook, I have to put like #FB at the end of it, and then it shows up, and that works fine. So absolutely. All you got to do is just search, Facebook, Twitter, Sync, and you'll find that. You want to take the next one?
Yes. Nathan writes, I've been listening to the podcast and it's great. I was listening to episode 8 when you guys were comparing the Incredible to the Nexus. Someone was saying that it was a great phone, but what would happen when Google decided to update the OS? Incredible users were waiting for an update. I found the Verizon Incredible specs on Engadget, and they said that it was a Google
in on Android Central
experience device. I thought that meant that Google had more control over what was on the phone. If you could explain, I would greatly appreciate it. So we actually kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but essentially these devices that are on the carriers have to get their software updates certified by the carrier before it can be sent out to all the users. So the idea behind a device like the Nexus is that Google wants to have, for example, the update, the 2.1.1, come to the Nexus. They can push it out and it's right there, and they don't have to wait for any sort of carrier approval. So that's kind of the idea behind that.
Yeah, and the Google experience thing, we're still kind of working on. For a long time, Sense you didn't see with Google on the back of the phone, right? Because Sense was doing its own thing, Google did its own thing, and never the twain shall meet. And then when we saw the Evo for the first time, it said with Google. So I never did hear back from Google about what the description of that is anymore. And hopefully we'll find out. Maybe they've lessened it up because, it's not like Sense is some fringe OS topper, right?
Exactly.
So. Timothy writes, I'm a huge Android fan, but I've not purchased an Android phone as of yet. I am looking at the Incredible among other phones, and it looks great. Now, I know that if you have a Verizon phone, you cannot be on the web and talk on the phone at the same time. My question is, can you talk and surf the web on a Verizon Android phone? No.
Unless you're on Wi-Fi, then you can.
Unless you're on Wi-Fi.
Yeah. The limitation with the technology, EVDO Rev A does not allow that. If they would have gone to Rev B, that is one of the features of the Rev B, but no one in the US is planning to go towards that. So there are currently no Android phones on Verizon, or Sprint for that matter, that you can use if you are not on Wi-Fi to talk and surf at the same time.
Or any other OS for that matter, Windows Mobile or Palm or whatever. So
it's a limitation of the technology, not of the phones or the OS. But yes, you can do it on Wi-Fi if you want. So that's something to keep in mind. So if you're at home and you're on the phone, you can do that. So
Scott writes, I love the podcast. I'm about to make the jump from BlackBerry to Android, either the Incredible or the Nexus One on Verizon, but I have one lingering worry. I currently have my own domain that I use for email, and I use Gmail to send and receive. So he's using, you know, Google Apps, right? And I use it to send and receive email using my personal domain address. I'm wondering if I can do this from an Android phone. In other words, all my contacts know my personal domain email, but I have no idea what my Gmail is. But they have no idea what his Gmail is. And I don't want to send emails that have my Gmail address showing up to people when I email them from my mobile phone. Actually, it works just fine. We use Google Apps for our Android Central email, right? And so all I do is, when I'm setting up Gmail, instead of doing phil@gmail, whatever, I do phil@androidcentral.com. And then it works fine. It says, all right, looks it up and says, oh, okay, that's Google Apps account. Pull in all your contacts, do your Gmail, you know, whatever. It works perfect. It's not a problem at all.
Nice. Very nice.
It's very nice.
Paul writes, my Verizon Droid phone recently updated itself to firmware version 2.1 update 1. The new gallery was created. However, the old shortcut to the gallery with the Android robot on it was not deleted upon the update. If you try to activate the shortcut, an error message pops up saying that the program is not installed. How do I delete the shortcut without losing or causing harm to the current gallery, which seems to have already imported all of my photos and videos? Well, I'm actually going to throw that one back to you because I don't have a Droid, so I don't know the exact what's exactly has happened to him here.
And I've been emailing with Paul about this. You should just be able to hold down and kill it. I mean, it's just an icon. You're not going to hurt the gallery itself.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and that should do it.
There's no uninstall to it. It's just deleting it. Just like nothing else.
Mm-hmm, all right, very nice. It's just an app icon like anything else. Finally, Dave writes, I'm really torn between the Nexus One and the Incredible. The Incredible looks better, but I don't want HTC to stop updating since and leave the Incredible or other phones at 2.1. My question is that going to happen? And if it does, what can users do? If they do continue to support it, how long do updates usually take? The Droid was updated a few weeks before the Incredible was released. Will that continue, or will stock Android devices always be updated much faster than Android with Sense? If you could reply or cover it, I would be very grateful. Thank you. Again, you kind of have two worlds you're talking about. You have a phone like the Nexus One that is controlled solely by Google, and then you have the Incredible, which is actually controlled by Verizon, right? So you're going to be waiting on Verizon to do it. Now, since, at least this new Sense, I would assume, unless Froyo, you know, totally messes with stuff, that because it's built on 2.1 out of the box, they're going to be able to update it much quicker than, say, Motorola has with MotoBlur. MotoBlur has been a very limiting factor there. But it's not really up to HTC. You know, obviously, if the OS itself requires changes and Sense has to be rewritten, then yeah, HTC is going to have to get involved. But really, it's going to be Verizon that you're waiting on if you go with the Incredible and not HTC, probably. That's my bet.
Yeah, I think that sounds fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got nothing else.
In the meantime, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com, and like you just heard, we actually get those emails now and we'll respond to them. And you can find us all on Twitter at Android Central is the main site. I am at Phil Nickinson. Mickey is at TCPJ_Mickey. And you can get everybody else at twitter.com/AndroidCentral and check out the list there for all the writers. And we are brought to you by the Android Central store. You can get them at 888-468-6158. And you can leave us a voicemail at that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222.
I think that was 888-468-6158.
No, not again.
We need some voicemails. We need some voicemails to play on the show.
Yeah, we do. And we need some intros. Leave the intro to the show.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks. Two podcasts this week. Special treat. We'll be back to our normal one next week. I'm getting tired of the sound of my own voice.
Nah. We love you,
Phil. Yeah. Thanks. All right, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye.
I'm sad.
Why?
because we had the live broadcast working and I blew it. I had to go messing with stuff.
We'll figure it out. We'll get it out.
We'll try it again. Yeah. We'll get it done, and I'll, you know to keep my cotton picking hands off stuff.
I gotta figure out maybe there's a manual way you can do it. That's how I used to stream it. I was taking the audio that came out of the headphones and just took a 3.5 millimeter cable and ran it to another computer and took that computer, and that was the streaming computer. So
ooh, that's hardcore.
Oh yeah.